after Syria and after Egypt have been wiped out, been basically rendered inoperative. Not all the peoples are going to be killed because not all of the peoples of any nation come to fight in the battle. A majority will. And as the battle intensifies, they'll send more troops in. You know how it was, some of you who can remember the World War II days. So you understand how these things happen. And in fact, when you go back to chapter 11, keep your finger over in chapter 11 of Daniel, by the way. We'll slip back over there. But when you go back over there, you see that these nations are the ones that come on the scene after. You remember, I read the scenario of chapter 11 of Daniel. He goes into the north, destroys Syria, comes through Jordan, doesn't touch it, goes to the south, destroys Egypt. He turns around because it says then the Ethiopians and the Libyans are at his heels. He's basically turned around, started back towards Jerusalem. And as he's on his way back to Jerusalem, then they start coming after him again. Now we get in the picture, Ezekiel chapter 38. Now, keep your finger, we'll go back and forth. Look at chapter 38. Let me show you the time based upon the scripture that these events are going to unfold. It's not me guessing at a scenario. It's me trying to exegete the Word of God and come to some conclusions. And you can do the same thing, but let me show you the evidence that I glean from my study of the Word that gives me the time frame upon which this will take place. Look at verse 8. And after chapter 38 of Ezekiel. And after many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. That gives us an evidence. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel. When the peoples, the chosen peoples, the Jewish peoples are gathered from the four corners of the earth, as Ezekiel 34 says will happen, as Ezekiel 38 says will happen, when they're brought into the land, as Ezekiel 36 says will happen. When they are brought into the land and when they come into the mountains of Israel, which have always been waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. There's the first evidence of when this is going to happen. A period of time when they dwell safely. I can suggest to you there is only one very brief period of time in the tribulation period when the Jews are going to dwell safely any place on the face of the earth. Go to verse 11. Here's another indicator as to when this is going to take place. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go up to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. The land of unwalled villages. Now that's a military terminology being used by Ezekiel. Remember, he is writing in the context of his society, his culture, at his time, 2,500 years ago. And what was the military force that they had? Well, they were able to be offensive with some type of a weapon. What was their defensive weapon? They didn't have F-16s guarding the skies over Babylon. They didn't have tanks if the troops broke through, the Medo-Persian Empire broke inside the walls of the city. They couldn't send their tanks out. They didn't move their troops in military troop carriers. They had as a defense, actually, Babylon, two walls around the city. The wall was their defensive military hardware. Not what it is today, a wall of a city. You did not have a city unless you had a capability of having a wall, supply of water, and food. That's what made a city in biblical times. And their defensive operation, the watchman stood on the top of the wall, watching for the enemy to attack and would warn the people. That's why Ezekiel in chapter 2 over in chapter 33 talks about Ezekiel being a watchman standing on the wall, hearing the warning from the Lord and warning the people. He brings that phraseology in because the wall was their defense. And so what it's saying here, when the Jewish people lay down their defenses, when will that be? When the Antichrist, thinking that he is the Messiah, confirms a peace agreement with them. Early on in the first of the year, of the first year of the tribulation period, they will then be dwelling safely at ease in the land. May I tell you this? The Israeli government has a two-pronged strategy in their military might. Two strong, two pronged strategy, and it's been in effect for 4,000 years, basically. Number one, they don't like playing games, for they go for the jugular. They want to get a fight over, so they go for the jugular. They don't want it delayed, i.e., the Six-Day War. They go for the jugular. They were being attacked in the Six-Day War on three sides, from the north, the east, and the south. So they go for the jugular. It was in a matter of almost hours that they had totally enabled the military, the air force of the Egyptian government in the Six-Day War. Thus, they couldn't retaliate. So they go for the jugular. Somebody asked me during the Gulf Crisis how long would the Gulf Crisis had lasted had Israel been involved. Now, they were ready. They were under restraint by the United States government not to retaliate. Supposedly, they're trying to put them in the same place this time. But they had their F-16s on the ramp. Those F-16s had the engines running. The canopy was down. The cockpit was, the pilot was in the cockpit. They were ready to go. How long would it have lasted? 15 minutes. That's how long it would take them to get to Baghdad, walk into the palace of Saddam Hussein, cut his head off, and it had been over. You know why it wasn't a nuclear battle in 91, because Menachem Begin sent an F-16 into Iraq, into Baghdad, and wiped out their nuclear reactor. And the whole world got upset about that. They go for the jugular. Number two, they don't fight in their own country. They fight in the country of the attacking enemy. Remember, I'll use the Six-Day War. They were being attacked from the north by Syria, who controlled the Golan Heights. Where did the battle take place? Golan Heights. They were going to be an attack by Jordan from the east in what is referred to as the West Bank. That's Judea and Samaria. Where did they fight? In the West Bank. They were being attacked from the south by Egypt, who controlled the Sinai Desert. Where do they fight? In the Sinai Desert. See, they go into the attacking enemy's geography, do the fighting there. And that's when they put the buffer zones in. And so they're under attack at a time. This coalition of nations, Magog, Russia, Ukraine, Persia, Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan, all of those stands over there, Libya, Ethiopia, Sudan, Somalia, Turkey, Meshech, Tubal, Gomer, Tagarma, all of these countries attacking. Oh, by the way, Turkey, who just elected a fundamentalist Islamic party to head their nation just 2 weeks ago. Boy, are we on the same page with prophecy. And they go to these wars when they're at peace, dwelling safely in the land of unwalled villages. It's just the mindset that they gleaned in the Gulf Crisis when President Bush, 41, said, Israel, we'll take care of you. We'll put Patriot missiles up. I personally talked to Moshe Ahrens, the defense minister. I personally, at the president's house, asked Mr. Ahrens, how effective were those Patriot missiles? Jimmy, maybe one Scud was taken out of the sky. And so Israel was duped by America, who said, the Patriots will take care of you. That's what they were, first time in history, they gave their safety, their security to somebody else. Setting the set for this to happen. So that's the time frame. Now, what is going to happen? Go to verse 18. Verse 18 lays out how is actually going to take place. These enemies attacking Israel early on, just after the rapture of the church, very soon after, within the first year. And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Look at this. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. By the way, 1 million Russian Jews now living in Israel in the last decade. Brother fighting against brother? Interesting statement in prophecy 2,500 years ago. Verse 22, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstone, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Look at verse 30, chapter 39, verse 1. Therefore must the Son of Man prophesy against Gog, say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Look at verse 2. Now, I've got a King James Bible. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I got a King James Scofield. Woo! That is good. Verse 2. And I will bring thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and I will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel, and I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and I will cause thy arrows to fall out of thy right hand.